Well, the centrepiece of the Heartlands project is the Robinson Shaft complex. And the big building, the taller building, is the engine house. And in there is a beam engine, which was a pumping engine. Now, Jeff Wallace is a specialist in historic machinery and has worked on stationary beam and steam engines across Britain and is working on the restoration of the Robinson Shaft building. Just tell me a bit about the history of this steam engine. When was the engine put into Robinson Shaft Engine House?
Well, the engine you see here was built in 1854, and this actually is its fourth site. It was bought here in the early 1900s and erected in a new building, and was really a very powerful engine for its time. The cylinder is 80 inches in diameter, and it pumps. The engine pumps down to well over 2,000 feet, so it's producing a huge amount of water and was a fantastic benefit to the mine, because obviously with the water under control, the mining could go on at greater depth and greater extent. So a fantastic piece of equipment, and it's still here, it's still complete, and most excitedly, it's potentially workable.
So how common was this type of engine across Cornwall?
Well, this is a relatively late engine. It's quite a well-developed example. The Cornish engineers were building engines quite commonly of this nature and moving them around between sites as the depth was of the mines changed. They got deeper. In some cases, they got wetter. And so they had to move the engines as necessary to fit the engine to the need, as it were, the pumping requirement. So this is a relatively common design, but what we have here is a well-developed example of it, beautifully engineered and worked for about 101 years, closing in 1955.
Okay, so when it closed in 1955, I mean, what replaced it?
Well, they would have been taken over by the next form of power that developed. Of course, that would have been diesel engines and electric pumps, submersible pumps, and that sort of pumping is what's still in use, of course.
So you've been refurbishing the engine. Just tell me, I mean, what are the challenges that you've been facing?
The first is that it's physically a very large machine. The beam itself is well over 30 tons, and it's on the third floor up, so it's right at the top of the building on a very, very strong wall. And of course, that beam sits on two very large bearings. So the beam has to be jacked up and the bearings cleaned, serviced, lubricated, and the beam put back down. And then there's many, many other bearings in the engine, all of which have to be dismantled, cleaned, and serviced before reassembly and then eventual testing, of course.
Now, people will see this engine moving, but it won't be under steam as originally. Why is that?
Well, the project here, of course, is designed to be energy efficient. And so whilst the beam engine itself was efficient by the standards of 1854, it isn't by modern standards. So putting a boiler back, even an efficient boiler, would be very, very expensive, both in capital terms and in running costs, and is quite unnecessary. This engine, of course, is not pumping water anymore, but simply working for demonstration purposes. So we need a much more efficient way of moving it, and that will probably now be a hydraulic ram hidden outside the building to operate the exposed end of the beam.
This is going to be an example of what a Cornish pumping engine looked like when it was moving. It just give me an idea about how important the Cornish beam engine was in the Industrial Revolution overall. What we're looking at here?
Well, the engines were absolutely critical in the development of the mines. Of course, as they went deeper, looking for a wider range of metals, some of which could only be found at greater depth, that it was inevitable that there would be flooding, and so the mines simply could not be exploited without effective and reliable pumping machinery, and that is what these engines were. They were the peak of engineering in the Victorian period, and they functioned extremely well, and most importantly, they were reliable, so you could be sure that if you had 100 or 1,000 men underground, they were safe.